What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Good Saturday afternoon and welcome back once again to Ride at Home with Rich. I'm your host, Rich Orris. We're getting past some of these difficulties, but who am I, you ask? Well, I am a senior home consultant for a full service design build company, Mosby Building Arts. We have everyone on staff to build any project for you, including consultants, designers, architects. Yes, I said architects. We actually have a couple of them. And we have all the production staff from project managers to carpentry, electrical, plumbing, drywall, paint, all your needs, all the way to siding, roofing, windows, doors. We also have different divisions kind of isolated how we can help you get through these projects, get them figured out. We have Right Bath, we have Right Kitchen, we have exteriors divisions, and of course our design builds. So I have a bench on the sideline behind me that goes more than 100 people deep. I help a lot of clients work through a lot of great remodeling projects, and being a former carpenter and project manager for Mosby, I can help you with any home remodel question that you may have today. The number you need to reach me is 314-241-9797. The lines are open for you right now, but today I'm reaching back into that bench just a little bit for you. You can call in with your bathroom and kitchen questions because my guest today, Mosby consultant David Flory, is the Right Bath and Right Kitchen expert. So for today, only for today, we have some double knowledge here to answer all your bathroom and kitchen questions. So give us both a call. Again, the numbers 314-241-9797 or from far away, 866-455-9797. And I plan to kind of talk to David a little bit about some new Mosby Selections website that we've just come out with. Some luxury bathroom items, maybe some pros and cons of walk-in showers, and some of the most common bathroom questions that you may have. We can answer some of those. I'll have my hack, of course, at the midpoint of the show, so stay tuned for all of that. But again, feel free to give us a call, 314-241-9797. So for now, let's get right at it with Mosby Right Bath Consultant, David Flory, or as we know him in our office and everything, as Super Dave. Hey, Dave, are you with me here, and how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, Rich. Nice to be here with you.
Oh, it is very nice to have you, and we got a lot of great stuff we can go over today, a lot we can figure out and help everybody out with, but I wanted to just kind of... It's been a little while since I've had you on, and you have been on before, but I wanted to just kind of remind everybody kind of who you are, what you do, where you're from. Have you always been in St. Louis?
I was born in St. Louis, but at a young age of about 3, my father moved our family to Cape Girardeau, and that's where I grew up. And then after college, I moved back to St. Louis.
Okay. And so what... basically, I know you've been in the industry a while. Can you talk about just how long you've been in the construction industry and really what got you interested in it and started in it?
I've always had an interest in the industry. My father actually had a heating and air conditioning company, and so I would go into homes with him on a daily basis every summer when I was in high school. I loved watching the new homes being built around me. And when I got married, my wife always had things she wanted done, and I said, I can do that. So I taught myself how to do all the construction end of it. So I've always been in the industry from a young age.
Oh, yeah, and hands-on learning, all that stuff is, you know, great way to get into it. And, you know, school's great, but when you're doing something like this, you really, you know, you can learn a lot from books and schools and stuff, but you really start to learn everything that goes on and how it really happens out in the field, you know, just really getting your hands wet and getting into it and everything. So cool. And explain just real quickly, you're kind of consulting here at Mosby, the right bath, the right kitchen. Kind of what are you doing out there and how do you help people with that when you go out and visit and stuff?
Well, I'm also a senior sales consultant. I've been with Mosby almost 8 years. And yes, I do specialize in kitchens and baths, especially right kitchens and right baths. And I just go out to customers' homes that are interested in either one and remodeling them. And we just talk through what it is they have currently and what they're thinking about doing and taste and style that they're interested in and how we may be of service to them.
Yeah. So, and kind of everything that we're doing today and how, you know, going out in the last couple of months here and having different meetings virtually and doing a lot of different stuff like that, you know, things are changing quite a bit. And I think we were kind of preparing for some of this, not pandemic, but just for making it easier, quicker, smarter, faster, all that stuff. So can you kind of explain this new Right Bath website that we've just started up with? And this was in the works for a while, but how people can kind of look and look at some of the selections and stuff on there with us.
Yes, we've put a lot of effort into it. It's myrightbath.com, and they can go on it, and they can see all kinds of before and after pictures. They can actually go through, it's a really deep website, and they can go in and look through different selections that they might be interested in, and they can click on those and put them in a cart. So really what they can do is just kind of see, you know, feel, work around the website before I even come out to their home, and they can be prepared before I come out to kind of share with me their tastes and interests and their excitement as to their specific project.
Yeah, and it's really, really cool thing. And it is brand new. We're even kind of just getting trained on it and just getting our feet wet a little bit with it. But yeah, to have, you know, to be able to do some of that up front and know some of that stuff is really super beneficial when we're in there and kind of going over and talking to them about, you know, how we can change it and help it. And, you know, it just kind of makes everything easier and speeds up the process and, you know, get some information out there up front. So it's a really, really, really cool thing. So I'd invite everybody to check that out. What was that website again, Dave?
MyRightBath.com.
Okay, great. And so for right now, we have Kim out in St. Charles on the line, has a remodeling kitchen question, I think. So, Anton, if you can get Kim on the line with us. Kim, are you there?
Hi, Rich. Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, thanks for calling in, Kim. What do you got going on with your kitchen?
Well, we're remodeling our kitchen. We kept our old cabinets, which I love them. They're like a real deep kind of the wood. So they're like a deep red oak. And we've got a gorgeous granite countertop that's white spring. So it's got a whole bunch of different colors in it with a white and cream kind of a background. We picked out the tile, and the tile is basically cream, but the edges around it are gray, so it makes it look like it's got a texture to it.
Oh, okay.
And I've actually been working with somebody, and she's like, okay, now, you know, to really make the countertop pop, why don't you look for a paint? We've got stainless steel appliances. She said, why don't you look for a paint that is like in the gray family? And I have this gorgeous red that's up there now that I really like, but it's time to change it. And I could not get excited about having a gray kitchen. Maybe it's because my eyes are not the greatest, so I like some color. But I was walking through the kitchen, and I happened to see a swatch laying out from something else of some teal. And the floor is kind of a medium gray. And I'm looking for something that's going to complement the cabinets and the floor, which the teal does that. But I'm completely lost as to whether I should go with something kind of jewel tone, which is more extreme, got a lot more pigment to it, or if I should go with something kind of dustier or lighter. And I was just wondering, is there a way, is there a rule of thumb on how to pick paint? Because I'm lost.
So for me, there's really not necessarily a rule of thumb as far as how to pick it. There are, you know, there are families of paints that go together, that look good together. And when you go to the paint stores and you look at, you know, a lot of the different types of paint like Behr and Sherwin-Williams and stuff like that, a lot of those will have like kind of paint samples that show families. So what I'd really suggest before purchasing a whole lot of paint is getting those paint samples that show those families of colors and finding what you have, like the medium gray and the kind of off, you know, white or whatever the tone that you were talking about. And then it will have a line of colors that it suggests that goes really good with all of those. And then you can look in that teal area to see, you know, what shade kind of works and blends in with that. So it'll kind of give you some direction there. And then you can go with it and you know, find kind of that color, you know, that would work well with the others and that you would like. I don't know, with the gray on the floor, I'd go with the gray on the wall. I kind of agree with you. Maybe something better, you know, would pop that a little bit better. So that's kind of where I would advise and start out with that for you. Does that help you out?
That helps a little bit, yeah. And I'll take all the help I can get. So that'll work. That'll give me a place to start.
Yeah, grab some of those and find those other colors that you already have, and then you'll have some good suggestions of what looks great with it. So we're about to get into our hard middle break here. So I would invite everybody, Kim, I really appreciate the call. Thank you very much. And
anybody
else out there, feel free to give me and David a call today, 314-241-9797.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Hey, no one likes haggling over price or hard negotiations with salespeople, right? It's just crazy thing to do. Well, this is Rich with Right at Home with Rich, and I'm inviting you to check out the low pressure environment at Aqua Systems. They have their upfront pricing. It's so super easy. You can even go to their website, see all the systems, all the pricing, everything you need. Check them out. at ilovemywater.com or give them a shout. Have them come out. They can test your water. They can talk to you about what's happening specifically to you in your home and what would really help you out. So I invite you to check them out, see how they treat you with so much fairness. Find out why 9 out of 10 people who talk to Aquasystems buy their water softeners from Aquasystems. Check them out online. Again, ilovemywater.com. Super easy to remember. ilovemywater.com.
I'm Ron Kruszewski, Chairman and CEO of Stifel. These are uncertain times. Yet at this moment, facing potentially exponential changes in the facts on the ground, we have no choice but to live in a world of contingencies. We risk blurring what is happening with what could happen, which presents a major test of our ability to communicate. Amid such uncertainty and confusion, financial firms like Stifel can and will be a stabilizing force in society and in the economy. We have deep perspective in times of abrupt change from our 130-year history of managing through peaceful and tumultuous periods. I want to assure you that Stifel will continue to be the voice of calm reason. I want to thank you, our clients and associates, for your personal resilience. Together, we will contribute to a positive outcome, one that we will proudly look back on when this pandemic is behind us.
For more information on Stifel's market perspectives, go to stifel.com. That's STIFEL.com.
Weekdays from 5 to 9 a.m., the Mark Cox Morning Show.
You do me a great service every morning listening to you.
Live and local.
We're all in this together right now.
Stay connected with 97.1 FM Talk.
All right, we are back live right now, halfway through the show with Right at Home with Rich. I invite everyone out there to jump in on the conversation. Feel free to give us a call, 314-241-9797. But right now, midpoint, as always, I have my Right at Home hack for everybody. You know, and you know, as I run around visiting homes, looking at clients' needs and their wants and their dreams, I now have this new vigorous cleaning and disinfecting habit. Not only cleaning myself, but my car, the shifter, the steering wheel, all my gadgets, my iPhone, my iPad, the pencil. So, you know, and as we're also kind of in our homes, our gadgets are really getting their fair share of overuse. You know, normally smartphone companies kind of say, don't use harsh cleaners, don't use disinfectants, the rags, they can scratch it. Right now in our current situation, they're all saying, go ahead, do this, stay safe, stay well. Well, I thought I would share some of the normal recommendations. So when we get back to normal, and just as you do your normal use at home and stuff, you can know some of these everyday dust, dirt, grime kind of tips to clean off your gadgets. So as always, of course, good idea, turn off your gadgets first prior to starting any cleaning routine. But when you look at kind of fingerprint smears on your touch screens, you know, you want to wipe those down with a dampened microfiber cloth or a lens cleaning cloth. You want something made for that. Most of your phones out there and your iPads have this oleophobic coating on them that provides a certain amount of finger smudge resistance, oil resistance to them. And harsh cleaning can really unwillingly remove that coating. So on some of those, you just want to use a dry cloth to try and not, you know, keep that coating on there as long as you can. When you look at keypads, iPad keypads, stuff like that, you know, your computer keypads, you want to use, just like your computer keyboards, use the can of compressed air if you can. Lightly brush it. If there's stuff kind of still stuck in between there and that, you can take a little damp cleaning cloth, an electronics cleaning cloth with a toothpick and kind of poke in there and just kind of get that stuff out of there. Now, my favorite one we came about is the earbuds, cleaning your earbuds. You know, if your sound quality starts to suffer a little bit, you know, removing all that dirt, the earwax, everything off those earbuds is going to bring that back for you. So What they recommend is dipping the tip of a cotton swab into some rubbing alcohol, squeeze out the excess, go over the whole thing. But when you get to the sound cover, you want to kind of just roll that Q-tip right over top of that. It'll lift that wax and dirt and debris right off of that. Then you can use the other end of the swab, kind of wipe everything dry, get those earbuds. It's important to keep those clean too. So don't forget, you can check this out. Find all this information on my Facebook, my Twitter. You can find a link to the information I've got here from Good Housekeeping. Look up Rich Orris at Mosby or at Rich Orris for Twitter and check it out. And hopefully this really helps out and keeps those gadgets clean for you while we're all out there trying to keep this crazy virus and everything at bay and stay healthy and safe, everybody. I will talk to you all later with my Right at Home hacks. They will be on my website or on my social media later this coming week, so you can find all of that information there. So, hey, David, are you still with me there? And how you doing with all your cleaning and stuff as you're running around and about and, you know, going to see everybody?
Yeah, I'm still here, and I'm still seeing customers that are happy to see us and keep myself clean and sanitized and protected.
Yeah, my poor iPad is really the hardest one because, you know, I know we use that so much on these appointments, and in and out of every appointment, you know, I'll disinfect that, kind of wipe it all down, but then you got to really clean that screen again because that disinfectant just kind of, once it dries, it leaves all those spots and stuff on the screen and everything. So a lot of fun, you know, trying to keep all this stuff clean. So, you know, hopefully here that part of it, when everything comes back around, maybe will not be the new normal. We can go back to our average cleaning and, you know, keeping those things working for us. But for now, I wanted to talk a little bit about some luxury items in the bathrooms, you know, that we see. Because, you know, it's kind of really neat. And even with the Right Bath and all of them and or our design build, you know, department as we're designing bathrooms and stuff, you know, it's nice to throw in some of these nice luxury items. What have you seen out there that people kind of, what's the most common thing you see them kind of throwing in to a bathroom, something that they'll really like and use a lot?
Well, it may not sound like a luxury item, but a lot of people, and I certainly recommend it, that they put a shower light in their shower. People don't even think about it, but it brings a real brightness to that shower, which they really appreciate. But I wouldn't necessarily consider that a luxury item. Unique things that people have talked about with me is obviously heated floors. You can put those on timers. You can actually heat the shower floor if it's a tiled floor, and you can actually heat the bench that you sit on, and you can put those, like I said, you can put those things on timers.
Yeah, those are really cool. And the timers are great because, you know, you can kind of set it even for like in the morning. If you get up every time, you know, the same time every day, mm-hmm. then you can kind of get that. So it doesn't have to be warm all the time. It can kick on in the morning, kind of warm it up. You get your shower and then it kicks itself off. And, you know, that's a really cool thing. And, you know, something I've seen a little bit of in the past is, you know, people heating their towels. So they yep. you know, years ago, we had these warming drawers like you would see in the massage places and stuff where it's a drawer, keeps everything in it. But now they've also got, you know, heated towel bars where you just hang your towel over it, kick that thing on, and it'll warm that towel up. So when you go to come out, you know, you'll have a nice warm towel to dry off with and everything, which is, I think, a really cool yeah. thing.
Two other highly technical things that people can consider are electronically controlled toilets and electronically controlled shower valves that are preset for you and that you can actually turn on and turn off through your Alexa.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, definitely seeing way more in the big master baths and the design build end more, you know, as we're creating these awesome showers for people is having, you know, dual showers, kind of like a his and her shower, big enough for two sections. And yeah, that you have that electronic control, so you never have to, ever have to adjust that temperature. You come in, you hit that thing on, and tell Alexa turn it on, and it'll get the hot water there, and it's always the temperature that you like and love. And that's a really cool feature for people.
One thing I enjoy about being a consultant with people is that you can talk to 10 people about the same size bathroom, and you'll express some of these features, and some people say, oh my gosh, I have to have that. And then some people say, yeah, no, don't need it. So it's just interesting how everybody has unique needs, interests, and wants when it comes to what they're wanting and expecting out of their bathroom remodel.
Oh yeah. And you know, the thing that I really like too is in doing so much of this and learned so much over the years, and you know, talking to clients after their bathrooms are done, after they've used them for a while, and you kind of ask them, how do you like this? What's your favorite thing? Stuff like that. You know, you really get to learn a lot so that you can be a really great advisor to them in selecting things and you know, explaining some of the uses and everything. Because like you said, with that light over the shower, that's one of the biggest ones that, you know, a lot of people really go, well, you know, I never really thought of that. I don't know that I have a problem, you know, but it's not a big deal. It's not an expensive thing. Yeah. And then once they have it, you talk to them later and they're like, wow, I didn't realize how great that was. You know, I can actually see, I can actually, you know, get to everything lit up so well. It's great. Kind of like, you know, Kim was talking about in her kitchen. Hopefully, if you have good enough lighting in that kitchen, you know, because lighting changes paint color so much, you know, so change in lighting can really change how you see the paint on the walls and how dark or different, you know, you really need that color to be. You know, it's kind of the same thing. So yeah, that light over the shower is so important and such a great, simple thing that people really just don't realize, you know?
And it's a funny conversation because it is such a simple economic thing, but it makes such a big difference. Between that and maybe a few can lights in the ceiling, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. So, hey, we got to get into our final break here, and we have Knox on the line. So if you can hold the line through the break, we'll get to your call when we return. If there's anybody else out there has anything for me and David, anything at all, simply call up and ask 314-241-9797. We're here for you, and we'll be all right. We are back flying through this last segment right now. Invite everybody to join us. If you have a question, you can try and squeeze one in here. Give us a shout, 314-241-9797. We do have David Flory with me on the line, and we have a caller in. Knox has a question about some pavers on his porch. Knox, are you with us?
Yes. Hello. I know this is off topic.
Absolutely. No problem.
I have a small porch on the front of a building. It's maybe five feet by maybe 15 feet. And it was painted, and I went over the top of it with slate, and I think the slate may be starting to come up. I was wondering about using pavers, possibly, you know, taking the slate up and going over it with pavers. I know they're usually set in a sand type of mix, but could I put them into like concrete and then mortar the gaps between them, and would they hold up?
So you would want to seal them. I would suggest sealing them also once you've done that. But I have seen a lot of people on like nice smooth concrete, brush finished concrete sidewalks and porches just like use an exterior like liquid nail, kind of like you would use on the last row cap blocks of a retaining wall. But with water and everything, you're going to want to love to do maintenance on that because they're going to come loose. They're going to pop. You're going to be constantly cleaning a bunch of them, resetting 8 or 10. So if you do it that way and you just put them real tight together, you know, you're definitely going to get water, and it's going to just be this maintenance thing that you have to keep up with. So if you mortar them and you mortar between them, like you're saying, and everything kind of like a brick or whatever, that'll help keep the water on top and running off, you know, where it needs to go and not getting into it so much. But the mortar and the pavers are definitely porous and will get water through it and in the pores. So sealing all that with the best sealer you can find would be another preventative type to keep that water beaten up and running off.
Well, that was the thing I was trying to avoid, was the water getting under them in the winter time, and they would, you know, naturally they'd crack up, and I don't want it to be a big maintenance problem for me.
Yeah.
Is there something better to do?
Well, anything you go over it, you just got to try and pick something that's not going to be very porous and is not going to, you know, take a lot of that water in it. But a tile, like a Spanish tile or something like that. What do you think, Dave?
Well, first of all, if you use a paver, it's going to be very thick. So you have to be concerned about height that he's doing with the steps and things. So an exterior tile would be a great idea. There's some stone that you could mortar down to the concrete. You just want to make sure that you really clean, scratch the surface, and bonded it properly so that it doesn't come up. If you, I don't know if that concrete is painted or what, but
well, it is painted. I went over it with like a, initially I went over it with sort of a semi-gloss or a gloss red, like a brick red paint. And that started to wear off. So I wire brushed it and put slate over it.
Is the slate coming up and getting loose?
Well, when I tap on it with a hammer or, you know, like a something solid, it sounds hollow underneath. So it sounds to me like there's void. And I have one section that is one tile that came off, and I was going to replace that, but then I was thinking, well, maybe I'm going about this wrong. Maybe the paver route would work better. But then I'd have the problem of water getting under it and breaking that up too.
Yeah, and with pavers, like Dave said, you really want to, you got to watch that height because they're thick, and you don't want to change
the height.
Your steps
isn't a problem for me because the door is like 5 inches over the top of the slate.
Okay.
So it would actually help not have a trip point there.
Is there a step from the porch, from the concrete porch to a sidewalk, like down to a sidewalk?
There is a parking lot in front of it, and it is almost level. It's maybe 2 to 3 inches above the parking lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's all going to be changed. I mean, I can have them. We're out in Wildwood and they're redoing the streets, so I can have them pour the concrete to any height that I want.
Ah, well, that would be good, because if you do this first and then they get the concrete to the right height, then that would probably work out pretty well for you. I would think more like that, like Dave was talking about, some kind of exterior tile is going to let way less stuff through it. And then you can seal up the grout and everything, the mortar between it, you know, and keep most of your water out. Do you have another thought, Dave?
Yeah, the problem with pavers is that almost all of them have a porosity to them. And if you try to mortar between them, That just wants to soak up into the pavers, and then you just have the water wanting to soak into the pavers. So I just think stone or exterior tile would be your best choice. You just want to make sure that when you take everything off that you really put a good bonding primer on that paint that you put on originally, so that the new material sticks to it.
Yeah, or grind it more than a wire wheel, but like a grinder, you know, that would really grind that off of that concrete. That would really be your best bet if you, you know, had the wherewithal to grind that all off 100%, because then you're down to the concrete. The mortar will stick to that rough concrete really, really well. You know, if that paint starts coming up, that's probably what you're hearing in the hollowness, is the paint's letting loose, so the mortar's on top of the paint, so now that you know, stone's kind of moving just a little bit and creating that hollowness underneath it. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, no, you're very welcome. Great question. Good task at hand to get under and everything. So I appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in.
Okay. You're welcome. Bye.
All right. So, so Dave, you want to kind of touch real quick. We got about a minute. Give that website out again for everybody and, you know, let everybody know how they can get a hold of us here with Wright Bath and Wright Kitchen and Mosby Building Arts.
So our new website is mywrightbath.com, and it's an interactive website where they can go on and see all kinds of before and afters and click on products and put it in a wish list. So that's a brand new website that we came up with, mywrightbath.com, that our customers are excited about. They can reach us at 390. I can't read my handwriting.
Oh, so Mosby's is 909-1800. Wright Bath. Let me get to it here. So Wright Bath would be 909-1820, and get there. So so I invite everybody to check us out. Check out that website and look through some of those selections and really kind of pre-pick out everything. It's kind of a really awesome thing. Dave, as always, great time. Appreciate you spending some Saturday with me and having you on. Thanks a lot for that. And this rain will settle down and maybe things will clear up for everybody tomorrow. So for now, I will talk to everybody next week. Have a good week. Be good. Stay home. Stay safe. And we'll see you out and about here later on. I'll talk to everybody next week. All right. We are back flying through this last segment right now. Invite everybody to join us. If you have a question, you can try and squeeze one in here. Give us a shout, 314-241-9797. We do have David Flory with me on the line, and we have a caller in. Knox has a question about some pavers on his porch. Knox, are you with us?
Yes. Hello. I know this is off topic.
Absolutely. No problem.
I have a small porch on the front of a building. It's maybe five feet by maybe 15 feet, and it was painted. And I went over the top of it with slate, and I think the slate may be starting to come up. I was wondering about using pavers, possibly, you know, taking the slate up and going over it with pavers. I know they're usually set in a sand type of mix, but could I put them into like concrete and then mortar the gaps between them? And would they hold up?
So you would want to seal them. I would suggest sealing them also once you've done that. But I have seen a lot of people on like nice smooth concrete, brush finished concrete sidewalks and porches just like use an exterior like liquid nail, kind of like you would use on the last row cap blocks of a retaining wall. But with water and everything, you're going to want to love to do maintenance on that because they're going to come loose. They're going to pop. You're going to be constantly cleaning a bunch of them, resetting 8 or 10. So if you do it that way and you just put them real tight together, you know, you're definitely going to get water, and it's going to just be this maintenance thing that you have to keep up with. So if you mortar them and you mortar between them, like you're saying, and everything kind of like a brick or whatever, that'll help keep the water on top and running off, you know, where it needs to go and not getting into it so much. But the mortar and the pavers are definitely porous and will get water through it and in the pores. So sealing all that with the best sealer you can find would be another preventative type to keep that water beaten up and running off.
Well, that was the thing I was trying to avoid, was the water getting under them and in the wintertime, and they would, you know, naturally they'd crack up, and I don't want it to be a big maintenance problem for me.
Yeah.
Is there something better to do?
Well, anything you go over it, you just got to try and pick something that's not going to be very porous and is not going to, you know, take a lot of that water in it. But a tile, like a Spanish tile or something like that. What do you think, Dave?
Well, first of all, if you use a paver, it's going to be very thick. So you have to be concerned about height that he's doing with the steps and things. So an exterior tile would be a great idea. There's some stone that you could mortar down to the concrete. You just want to make sure that you really clean, scratch the surface and bonded it properly so that it doesn't come up. If you, I don't know if that concrete is painted or what, but
well, it is painted. I went over it with like initially I went over it with sort of a semi-gloss or a gloss red, like a brick red paint, and that started to wear off. So I wire brushed it and put slate over it.
Is the slate coming up and getting loose?
Well, when I tap on it with a hammer or, you know, like a something solid, it sounds hollow underneath. So it sounds to me like there's void. And I have one section that is one tile that came off, and I was going to replace that, but then I was thinking, well, maybe I'm going about this wrong. Maybe the paver route would work better. But then I'd have the problem of water getting under it and breaking that up too.
Yeah, and with pavers, like Dave said, you really want to, you got to watch that height because they're thick, and you don't want to change
the height.
Your steps
isn't a problem for me because the door is like 5 inches over the top of the slate.
Okay.
So it would actually help not have a trip point there.
Is there a step from the porch, from the concrete porch to a sidewalk, like down to a sidewalk?
There is a parking lot in front of it, and it is almost level. It's maybe 2 to 3 inches above the parking lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's all going to be changed. I mean, I can have them. We're out in Wildwood, and they're redoing the streets, so I can have them pour the concrete to any height that I want.
Ah, well, that would be good, because if you do this first, and then they get the concrete to the right height, then that would probably work out pretty well for you. I would think more like that, like Dave was talking about, some kind of exterior tile is going to let way less stuff through it. And then you can seal up the grout and everything, the mortar between it, you know, and keep most of your water out. Do you have another thought, Dave?
Yeah, the problem with pavers is that almost all of them have a porosity to them. And if you try to mortar between them, That just wants to soak up into the pavers, and then you just have the water wanting to soak into the pavers. So I just think stone or exterior tile would be your best choice. You just want to make sure that when you take everything off that you really put a good bonding primer on that paint that you put on originally, so that the new material sticks to it.
Yeah, or grind it more than a wire wheel, but like a grinder, you know, that would really grind that off of that concrete. That would really be your best bet if you, you know, had the wherewithal to grind that all off 100%, because then you're down to the concrete. The mortar will stick to that rough concrete really, really well. You know, if that paint starts coming up, that's probably what you're hearing in the hollowness, is the paint's letting loose, so the mortar's on top of the paint, so now that you know, stone's kind of moving just a little bit and creating that hollowness underneath it. So,
yes.
Yeah.
Sound good?
Well, thank you very much.
Oh, no, you're very welcome. Great question. Good task at hand to get under and everything. So I appreciate the call. Thanks for calling in.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
All right. So, Dave, you want to kind of touch real quick? We got about a minute. Give that website out again for everybody and, you know, let everybody know how they can get a hold of us here with Wright Bath and Wright Kitchen and Mosby Building Arts.
So our new website is mywrightbath.com, and it's an interactive website where they can go on and see all kinds of before and afters and click on product and put it in a wish list. So that's a brand new website that we came up with, mywrightbath.com, that our customers are excited about. They can reach us at 490. I can't read my handwriting.
Oh, so Mosby's is 909-1800. Wright Bath, let me get to it here. So Wright Bath would be 909-1820. I can get there. So I invite everybody to check us out. Check out that website and look through some of those selections and really kind of pre-pick out everything. It's kind of a really awesome thing. Dave, as always, great time. Appreciate you spending some Saturday with me and having you on. Thanks a lot for that. And hopefully this rain will settle down and maybe things will clear up for everybody tomorrow. So for now, I will talk to everybody next week. Have a good week. Be good. Stay home. Stay safe. And we'll see you out and about here later on. I'll talk to everybody next week.